If you're walking around with an iPhone or a BlackBerry or a Droid, you have in your pocket a hackable device. Just like a desktop computer, the portables are fast becoming targets for that breed of human that gets a kick and maybe makes a buck from spreading technological viruses and other forms of digital malfeasance. And the rate of infection is actually picking up speed because for hackers, getting inside a portable device can be like digging up buried treasure, your treasure. So, what makes mobile devices now such prime targets of hackers, and what can you do about it? We're going to talk to a security expert in just a moment, but first, we would very much like to hear from you on this. We're looking for some firsthand experience. If your mobile device was targeted, number one, how did you actually know? Because sometimes it's stealth. And what did you do about it? Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Again, the question is, if your mobile device was targeted, how did you figure it out? Because sometimes it's hidden, and what did you do about it? Charlie Miller is a principal research consultant at Acuvant Labs. His work focuses on security of mobile devices, and he joins us now from the studios of St. Louis Public Radio in Missouri. Welcome, Charlie, to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I think anybody who's ever sat at the keyboard is now aware of viruses and the risks and knows about firewalls and antivirus programs. But I don't think we're as familiar with the risk to the little guys in our pockets. So why does hacking seem now to be crossing over to mobile devices? Is it simply because they're there?
Oh, that's part of the reason. So, when I was growing up, a phone made a phone call, and that was it. But, now the phones that we have, they have web browsers and email clients and everything else in them. And so basically the same rules apply that you're used to with computers. So your phone now is a computer. And just like how your computer can have malware or can get exploited, get broken into, the same thing can happen to your phones.
Well, you said in a very general way it's the same kind of thing, but can we go through some specifics of the kinds of work down a list of the kinds of attacks that are happening on cell phones?
Sure. So it's really the same you see as computers. So there's basically two ways that the bad guy gets code running on your device. So one is that you download something to run it. So this could be an app, for example. And then the other is you're just minding your own business, surfing the web, and you get exploited. So this relies on some kind of vulnerability in the software that you have on your system. So just like PCs, basically you either download the bad code because you think it's something that you want, or you just get attacked due to flaws in the software you're
so
on your device.
It is very much the old story, but squished into a little package and made portable.
Right. And some of the things that make it more interesting for phones is that computers, they have lots of great information, but your phone also has GPS, so the attacker knows where you are, lots of photos because you use it as a camera, and also ways, even if, you might turn your computer off at night, or when you're carrying around in your backpack, it might not be hooked up to the internet.
So, I mean, you're actually saying that phones are more vulnerable than, in some ways, at least, or the damage they can do potentially is more vulnerable than an attack on your desktop.
Well, in a lot of ways, they're more attractive to attackers. They're probably a little less vulnerable. They're designed a little more securely than the typical desktop.
So they're more attractive. Is there an army of hackers out there working constantly on cell phone hacks?
Well, not yet. So the big army of bad guys is still basically focusing on PCs because that's how they make their money, and so far that's not drying up. But more and more of them are seeing mobile devices as sort of the new ground that no one else is using, and there's more and more people use them, and more personal information, and more people use online banking, that sort of thing, from their mobile devices. You're going to see more of the bad guys focus on that.
What's the worst story you've heard of somebody being hacked on a phone? I mean, what the most damaging case?
That's a good question. So I basically get two kinds of emails from people. Mm-hmm. One is people want me to help them because their computers have been hacked or their phones, I mean, have been hacked. And the other one is they want to spy on their girlfriends. So I don't know which one is the worst.
That's not
but
good. Let's bring in David from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, David. You're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi. Good to be here.
So what happened?
A few months back, I got a call from my web hosting service, and they had shut down my email server. And they said they had 10, 15, 20, 50,000. They lost count. How many returned email notifications? And I was really confused at first. And then they kind of explained to me. They said, yeah, you've sent out 100,000 email or more. And I said, I didn't do it. And they said, well, someone did. And they traced it to my wife's account. And then I went in and I changed the passcode on the email server so that they couldn't get in. But what happened was someone hacked into my wife's Android phone through Sprint, and they were using that phone to send out email. And she was wondering why her battery life, it was only an hour or two every day that
oh,
would have.
Because it was in constant use, but just not by her.
Right. They penetrated her phone and using her phone maybe as like a proxy or something. They were using her phone to send out the email, and it just so happened that it wasn't a Gmail or a Hotmail account. It was my own email account.
Yeah.
And they saw all these undeliverables because they were just sending out, you know, kind of one at a time, changing a digit in the email.
So what was your...
And I had to reset her phone completely. Mm-hmm. And then when I called Sprint and I said, hey, what happened? They said, this isn't our fault. Of course your phone can get compromised. And they washed their hands of the whole thing.
I'll bet that's so, in the small print somewhere.
Oh yeah. And I'm sure that most of the terms and conditions of all these cell phone contracts now specify that you cannot join a class action suit because they probably know that this stuff is going to be coming down the pipe sometime soon. And as a consumer, we don't even have the right to do a class action suit anymore.
All right, David.
I had talked with my attorney on this, and he says, I bet you their terms and conditions specify no class action suit if your phone is compromised, which is actually very common. I agree with the gentleman that's on your show. It's just like a computer, and it gets compromised. There are antiviruses that you can download, but most consumers don't know that.
All right, David, thanks for your call. And the gentleman on our show is Charlie Miller. And Charlie Miller, was that a particularly ambitious attack on his wife's phone, or is that the kind of thing that we're talking about?
Well, it's possible that that attack was actually an attack against you know, the email server as opposed to the phone, so it's hard to say. But
well, the part about battery being worn out because it was in use sending emails.
Well, you know, there's lots of reasons why a phone battery might go down. But basically, it does point out a couple of issues. One is mobile devices are kind of great for attackers because they're always on. They're always on the internet. And so you can use them to send spam or, you know, as part of a botnet or whatever they want. The other thing that story highlights is that it's usually really hard to tell if a phone has been compromised, where it's a lot easier to see if a, you know, PC has been compromised.
So what are folks supposed to do? And what are the protections besides turning your phone off most of the time, which no one
right. Well,
to
if
do.
You just turn your phone off, then it's real secure, but it's not so useful. So you have to think first. All the lessons that you've ever learned about your PC, you need to apply to your phone. So, you know, typical stuff like, you know, only go to websites that are trusted, click on links that from people you trust, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Keep your software up to date. So, you know, the same rules that you do for your desktop, you need to do for your phone. But then there's a lot of very specific mobile device I could give you too. So. And some of this is dependent on your phone, but if you have like an Android phone, you only download apps from the what used to be the Android Market, but now they call Google Play, then you're a little safer. Most of the malware comes from third party sites where you can get apps. Likewise, when you download an app, be very careful about the permissions that it gives you. So if you download a game and it wants permission to send text messages or make phone calls, well, that's pretty suspicious. So you probably shouldn't allow that.
And is it possible that you're hacked and you don't know it for a long time?
Oh, absolutely.
So what should you be looking for?
And there's really not much you can do, unfortunately. So the way that phones are designed is to make the apps you download have limits on what they can do. Uh-huh. And one of the consequences of that is you can't really download security software like antivirus and have it look for attacks and look to see if you're compromised because it just doesn't have that kind of access.
Madeline in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling or having my call.
No pleasure.
The reason I knew I was hacked was all of my contacts were duplicated, and so therefore I took it to the carrier, and they ended up taking out the SIM card and, you know, trying to correct that, but my phone wouldn't operate, so they just ended up giving me a new phone. But when those numbers were duplicated, what I found out was somebody else was trying to have access to all of those persons for some type of ill, you know, wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm. But did it solve the problem in the end? You have a working phone again?
They had to give me a new phone.
Entirely.
Yes, because none of my phone numbers were going to, or contacts were going to be available to me.
Oh.
But fortunately, what I had done, I had the numbers as far as hard copy, and now I just do not have as many contacts anymore.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you do anything differently now to keep this from happening again? After hearing from Charlie that there may not be that
much
to do.
Yes, I power off and close it down.
So really, you are turning off your phone when it's not in use for that reason.
I've been doing it and not, you know, letting it ring or not calling out and anything of that nature.
All right. Madeline, thanks very much for sharing your story. And I want to read something that we've received via email from Mike in Seattle. He writes, I have a question for your expert. Our expert, Charlie Miller. For our computers, one of the basic measures we can take is to make sure our system software is up to date. Yet for many with Android-based phones, manufacturers are sometimes unwilling to pass on security updates for phones that are over a year old. For those of us locked into two-year contracts, what can we do?
Right. That's a great question, and it's a major problem, especially with Android, but also with iOS devices. So Apple doesn't ship updates for very old iOS devices either. So you're sort of out of luck if you're a very technical person. You can download the latest open source version of the Android operating system and try to install it, but you know that's quite a job for the average person to do. So
newbie territory, really, is it?
No, the name of the game is they want you to buy a new phone. So you know they're not going to go out of their way to help you upgrade. They want you to go buy a brand new phone, and they'll be happy to support that one.
What's very briefly take us into the mind of a hacker? What's the kick?
Well, 10 years ago, the main drive for this type of activity was just curiosity, and people wanted to break into phones to sort of prove they could do it, and they were curious. Well, not phones, but computers back then. But basically, there's been a change, and now it's mostly for financial gain. So the majority of hacks you see now are financially motivated. So they're trying to steal credit cards, personal information, anything that they think they can make money on.
They're not hobbyists and sadists. They're profiteers and pirates.
Right. Yeah. Now they have mortgages and they want to make money.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Golden, Colorado. Hi, Mark. You're on Talk of the Nation.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
So I was contacted by my bank. And they told me that somebody had gotten into my account. They saw some withdrawals and suspicious activity, and that they asked me if I had sent any texts with my banking information, and I had a couple of days previously. I sent them in separate emails, thinking that would, make it secure, but apparently not. And they had recommended that I close that account, start a new one, and go to the phone company and get a different phone and start from scratch because they felt like there wasn't any way to know what application I had downloaded or how to start with a clean slate other than that.
So you're back on you're on a new phone now?
Yes.
And what are you doing differently?
I don't download any applications. I have a powerful laptop and a tablet, and I use only the laptop for applications, and I kind of just assume that that laptop is, I don't sync them. I just assume the laptop is potentially dirty, and I don't sync the tablet or the phone with either of those.
Well, you really got burned, though, didn't you?
Pardon me?
You really got burned. I mean, that was...
It could have been a lot worse,
yeah.
Because of the amount. But I'm a little bit apprehensive now about sharing any information. I'm wondering if down the road that the Social Security number is so compromised and ubiquitous that there might be kind of a clean slate and people have a new number of a different kind that's unrelated to the Social Security or tax system, since so many people have identity theft and the like.
All right, Mark, thanks very much for your call. And what you just brought up Mark, identity theft goes a little bit to our next email from Denise in San Francisco. She writes, I use an app on my iPhone specifically designed to store a lot of sensitive information, pretty much all my passwords, account data, etc. When I bought it, it was highly rated by reputable sources as being very secure and safe. Everything is encrypted. I also have my phone password protected. Is it safe to use apps like these? Charlie?
So it's certainly better to use something like that than nothing. So the thing to realize is that if someone did successfully attack her phone, and the next time that she logged into getting that information, they would be able to get it too. So it makes it a little harder, but there's basically no foolproof solution. But
so that's a little bit like putting everything into a safe to keep it safe. But if somebody knows the combination, then they have everything.
Right. So if they can sit in the room with you the whole day, whenever you unlock it, they can just watch what you do. And then when you leave, they can do the same thing.
All right. Okay.
The same thing works for phones.
We have time for one more call. Very briefly, Randy in Plymouth, Michigan. Hi, Randy. You're on Talk of the Nation.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. I just need you to tell me in about four sentences what happened or we're going to run out of time. Thanks.
So I experience general redirects all the time when surfing the web on my mobile device. I'm not sure if that's a hack or if something's been put on there previously. I don't. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I also would like to hear your take on the last three callers. It doesn't sound like either of those three callers have experienced any kind of hacks. It seems like more of something else other than that.
Is it possible, Charlie, that what looks like a hack is just us not getting our phones?
Well, certainly. It's hard to tell, especially, on the radio here, what happened. But I haven't seen too many attacks yet. I think the biggest issue people have with mobile devices is that they're going to leave them in a bar or a taxi cab or something.
Right. Charlie Miller, that's a whole different issue, is a principal research consultant at Acuvant Labs, and his work focuses on security of mobile devices. He joined us from the studios of St. Louis Public Radio in Missouri. Charlie, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm John Donvan in Washington.